Well, good evening. Good to see y'all this evening. Wow. Maybe that'll work. What a way to exhort him this evening, huh? When all hope is gone, all we have is his word, and we must believe. Well, we are still in understanding the words of Jesus, and we're still dealing with the kingdom. Pastor said this would take, I'm waiting for it to come up. My iPad's slow. Said that this would take a few weeks, and he wasn't lying. But you see the importance of how important it is for us to understand the kingdom that it's talking about. And we're on that John 3:3, and he's having that conversation with Nicodemus, and he's telling him, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. And this is very, very, very important. You see, Yeshua preached it. The prophets before him talked about it. And also he was commissioned, and he also commissioned his disciples to also go into and preach the kingdom. So, you would think that right there shows how the importance of it. So and you don't hear about that in, churches nowadays, that, people are preaching the kingdom. And I tell you, it's very, very important. So the first two is, I made these two little statements at the end of the message Sunday, and I just want to start off with them. It says, we are called to preach the gospel, but not to try to change the world. The world will be changed when Yeshua returns. We just make known the message of what is coming. And that's so important, and it's hard for us as believers, because sometimes you want to shake people and why are they not getting it? And, I guess there was times that the Father wanted to shake us to see why we wasn't getting it. But we just have to be patient and just do what it says. Just preach the message that what's coming. And don't try to change the world. Let Yeshua do that. That's his job. And he's going to do a fine job when he comes. You can best believe it. When he comes, it will be restored just like it was in the very beginning. So let him do it. Let him change, and not us try to. We have seen how the gospel of the kingdom is one continuous message throughout the whole Bible. And we have been through a lot of scriptures, and we've seen it. That's exactly what the Bible is about the coming, the gospel of the kingdom. It says, believing the gospel message about the kingdom of God. Believing the gospel message. And we just got through saying, when all hope is gone, your word is all we got to hold on. And it says we have to believe. There is one gospel in the Bible, the good news of Elohim's plan to grant you immortality, indestructible life, life forever, and to prepare you to administer the world on a renewed earth with Yeshua in the coming kingdom. And who doesn't want immortality? Who don't want to live forever with him? And we're also going to have a job. He says he's going to prepare us to administer the world on a renewed earth. That means we're not going to heaven. If you just listen to when he asked some teachers how to pray, what he told them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But yet, you hear it all over, and not just believers go to heaven. You go to a funeral of a, it was a non-believer, and The first thing they say, he's in a better place. He's in a better place. She's in a better place, whoever. Everybody believes that you just go straight to heaven. Bypass the resurrection. We don't need it. Matthew 5:5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted for righteousness. No one believes that we're going to go through, well, now I don't say no one. I mean, a lot of people don't believe that you're going to go through trials and tribulations. But, I mean, his word tells us. And that's just one verse. There's many, many verses that tell us you're going to go through things. You're going to go through trials. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also would deny us. So we see again, there's going to be some suffering. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't want him to deny me before the Father. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. What is going to give a power over the nations for if we in heaven already? All these scriptures cancel out that what's being taught. That no one will be here on earth. We all be in heaven. Revelation 5:10, and hath made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Kings and priests he's going to make us. I can't wait. Whichever one he wants me to be, it don't matter. A king, a priest. But what gets me is that I'm going to reign on earth with our Elohim, the one who created this and us. The kingdom expected by the prophets. Paul was convinced. And that statement should have been a couple of slides down. I just forgot to move it. And when I sent it, I didn't feel like going back. But you'll see what I'm talking about about the prophets, what the prophets spoke about. Paul was convinced that the Christian gospel had been revealed in advance of the coming of Yeshua to the prophets of Israel. We're going to read Acts 28:23, Romans 1:1-2. Romans 16:24-27, and Galatians 3:8, and Titus 1:2. Remember, he said it was convinced that the Christian gospel had been revealed in advance of the coming of Yeshua. So before Yeshua was even showed up on the earth, the prophets was already talking about this kingdom. Acts 28:3, and when they had appointed him a day, talking about Paul, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Notice where he was getting it from, out of the law and the prophets. And look how long it took. You know, we sit here and we get it in an hour. Some of us a little shorter than an hour. But back then it was from morning until evening that he was preaching the kingdom. Every day, morning till evening, he was preaching the kingdom. So that was important. So you see the importance of the kingdom, of the kingdom message. So important. Romans 1, 1 through 2. Paul, a servant of Yeshua, Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the good news of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Romans 16, 24, and it should be 24 to 27. Another little typo of myself. The grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my good news and the preaching of Yeshua Messiah according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Verse 26 and 27. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting Elohim, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To Elohim only wise be glory through Yeshua Messiah forever. Amen. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the good news unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Titus 1:1-3. Paul, a servant of Yahweh, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, according to the faith of Yahweh's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after holiness, in hope of eternal life, which Elohim, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, he doesn't go back on his promise. We make promises, and you know, there's times that we don't fulfill them. Whatever it might be, to your family member, to a friend, you know, to a loved one. But yet Elohim makes a promise, and he sticks to it. He cannot lie. And then he made it before the world began. But had in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of Elohim, our Savior. Yeshua knew the Old Testament well, and he knew a passage in the prophet Micah 4:7-8, which had just the same coming of the kingdom in mind. It defines the kingdom beautifully. Now, this is in Micah. Remember, this is in Micah. Like I said, it was before Yeshua even appeared that, you know, they was talking about the kingdom. They was preaching the kingdom. Micah 4:7-8, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Sometimes you just got to slow down and just go back over the scripture again and again, and you see what they're talking about. It must be significant that the kingdom of Yahweh is the substance of the very first thing said about Yeshua, even before his birth. And you see that in Luke 1:32. And 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This announcement by the angel Gabriel came as no surprise at the description of the role of the Messiah. What the angel promised was exactly what the faithful were hoping for. The recurrent theme of the Hebrew prophets is that the kingdom of Yahweh will be established throughout the world with a rehabilitated Jerusalem as its capital and the Messiah as Elohim's agent administering an ideal world government. The promise of perfect government on the earth receives the fullest treatment by the Hebrew prophets of the Old Testament, of the perfect government on earth. The expected world empire would be Yahweh's kingdom, administered for him by his unique representative, the Messiah. And what makes him unique? What makes the Messiah so unique? Well, there's many things that make him unique. One, he was born without the help of a man. I think that's pretty unique. The only one. Number two, the only one that rose from the dead and still lives today. Now, there was many. There was many that was raised from the dead, but they all still died later on. He rose and still lives on today. And not only that, the only one that not only did he descend from heaven, ascended back to heaven, and is the only one that holds that position that gets to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's, if you just those alone, that's very unique. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the Elah, the God of heaven, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's going to be one kingdom. One kingdom. A throne will even be established in loving kindness, and a judge, an administrator, will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. And that's in Isaiah 16:5. But where is this throne? Where's David's throne at? Anybody want to take a guess? And it's not in heaven. So if he's going to sit on the throne of David, where's David's throne? In Jerusalem. And it's going to be here. The kingdom is going to be here. You know, just little things like that. You pick up on it and be like, wow. You know, all those years, I was talking about that we're going to be going to heaven and going to heaven and like we're going to have nothing to do. But, you know, the scripture says otherwise. If we just take our time and go through it and believe, we got to believe. Isaiah 16:5, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. What the prophet saw was a vision of utopian conditions. And utopian means, you know, that it's a state where everything is going to be perfect. That's what utopian conditions mean. On earth, which everything's going to be perfect again, following the conquest of the world by Yahweh, the Lord God, acting through his chosen agent, the promised king, the Lord of hosts, will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Isaiah 24:23. Then the moon shall be confounded in the sun of shame when Yahweh of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time They shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Wow. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Evidently, the kingdom of Yahweh is to be a new political and territorial order with its headquarters in the promised land of Israel. This is the unanimous view of all the prophets. Jeremiah 2 had recorded the words of the Lord promising national restoration for Israel under the Messiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, said Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahweh, our righteousness. So he's coming, and he's coming to rule and reign. He said, and shall execute judgment. There's going to be judgment and justice in the earth. Isaiah's and Micah's vision is no less clearly defined, with the additional guarantee of multilateral disarrangement under the government of the Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can you imagine the world? You know, you sometimes make those statements. I know I have. When you're having a rough week or a rough day, man, you say, man, I feel like the world is on my shoulders, and we don't know what to do. You know, you're going through things, and sometimes you say something that you shouldn't say when you're feeling all that weight on you, and it's tough. But the scripture says that the government shall be upon his. He's the only one that can handle that type of weight on his shoulders. Him and the Father. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David. You see it just all throughout Scripture. Upon the throne of David. Upon the throne of David. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Micah 4, 2 and 3. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Listen to what we're going to have to do, though. He's going to teach us his ways. We're going to have to walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And why? Why you think that they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks? And not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall there learn war anymore. There'll be no more fighting. What is plowshares? It's a gardening tool. What you gonna beat your guns and stuff up or whatever you're fighting with into gardening tools for? If you're in heaven, what you gonna do? You beating that up into plowshares because you're gonna be here. You're gonna be tilling the ground. You're gonna eat what you what you work, what you produce. Now I say guns, he says swords. I'm thinking our Western. I'm not thinking them. But he's talking about the swords. They're going to beat their swords into plows and sharing pruning hooks. One of the clearest descriptions of the kingdom of Yahweh appears in Daniel 2:44. Following the destruction of hostile world powers, the Elohim of heaven will set up a kingdom, clearly here a world empire, which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. In Daniel 7, the same promised kingdom is to be administered by the Son of Man, Yeshua's favorite self-designation, and his followers, Elohim's chosen people. And that is us, his followers, Elohim's chosen people. We're going to live in the kingdom that's going to last forever. Daniel 7:14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Wow. Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The revolution associated with the Messiah's installment in his kingdom is described by Zechariah. And we all know what a revolution is. It's a social order in favor of a new system. And that's what's coming. That kingdom is going to be a new system. And we're going to see in Zechariah 14, verses 3 through 5. Zechariah 14, verse 9. In Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 17. Zechariah 14, 3 through 5. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Yahweh my Elohim shall come, and all the saints with thee. In Zechariah 14:9, and Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one. In verses 16 and 17, the same chapter. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So this is something that we're going to be doing from year to year, is traveling to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it said that obviously there's going to be some that's not going to want to. And, you know, wow, what it says, there will be no rain for them. Why no rain? Because you need rain for your crops. You don't need no rain if you we in heaven. What you going to need rain for? These and many other passages in the prophets demonstrate beyond dispute that the kingdom of Yahweh will be a new world government on earth, administered by the Messiah, Elohim, chosen king, assisted by a group of associates called in Daniel the saints of the Most High. And that was in Daniel 7:27. Again, we're that group. We are his associates, the saints of the Most High. Can you imagine being called that, the saints of the Most High? Wow. The picture of a restored earth is common to all the prophets. It is the basis of the messianic hope, summed up by the term kingdom of Yahweh. So to sum it up in a short of what the kingdom is, it's the hope. Acts 24:14-15. It says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." But listen to what he said about where the hope is coming from. He said, "Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." And we're going to have two resurrections, the just and the unjust. I want to be in that one, the just. I don't want to be in the unjust. Acts 26:5-8, "Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I live a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Elohim unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving Yahweh day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that Elohim should raise the dead?" The terms kingdom, kingdom of heaven, and kingdom of Yahweh are found scores of times throughout the New Testament. Many times it's found. Yet it is absolutely astonishing how nearly everyone has lost the knowledge and true meaning of what this kingdom is. And that's why it's so important for us to, that we're going through the words of Jesus and you know, taking our time. I mean, we got stuck on that one verse about the kingdom. Because just like it says, it's amazing how nearly everyone has lost that knowledge and the true meaning of what this kingdom is. And hopefully, I think tomorrow we're going to finish up on the kingdom. You can't finish up. There's so much more, so much more scriptures and talking about it. But we have to get, moving on. We're back on understanding the words of Jesus. But it's, you know, I hope we've seen that with all the scripture and all the commentary and how important that it is that we get back to the knowledge and what the meaning of it is. That, you know, this is a real place that's going to come here on earth, and that we get to live forever with the Father. That's incredible to know that one day we're going to have that, the ability, and, you know, to know that we're going to rule and reign with him. We're going to rule and reign with him. So thank y'all for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed going through the scriptures with y'all. It's just incredible, you know, understanding the words of Jesus and how important it is. Anybody needs prayer, any prayer requests? Somebody told me a prayer request too. I can't remember what somebody told me. It was at the restaurant. Somebody told me. Somebody needed prayer. Oh, man. I can't remember who told me. But the Father knows. He knows. So, yeah, we're going to be in prayer about Jamie's little brother, Eddie. She didn't give details, but, you know, the Father knows what's going on and what the situation might be. We just leave it in His hands. So we're going to close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we just want to thank You for tonight, Father. Lord, we want to thank You that You worked out every detail of our lives to see that we was here tonight. We want to thank You for Your word. We want to thank You that we opened up our understanding. We see how important it is to get back to the kingdom message, Father, Lord God. Lord, to rule and reign with You. It's just what an incredible time that's going to be. And, you know, just to tabernacle among You. And just, wow, we just thank You and we love You and appreciate You. You see Eddie, Father, Lord God, whatever the situation might be, Lord, we ask that You touch that family, Father, Lord God, and Your hand of protection be over that family, Father. And we know You're going to do whatever it is that needs to be done in his life and in that family's life, Father, Lord God. And you see all these other prayer requests that we might have missed and just can't remember who might have told us something, Lord. We just give it all to You because You know what? All things. You created every one of us and You created this world. There's nothing that don't go unseen from Your eyes. So we just thank You and we love You and appreciate You. And you see those that are still on vacation or might be traveling back, we just pray Your hand of protection upon them as they're traveling. And we just give You all the praise and the glory for tonight. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen.